At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Hey, welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, here with good friend Ron Hicks, and we're going to talk about political news and happenings all across the Commonwealth and the country as well.
I love it. Thank you, Richard. It's always a pleasure to be here with you on this program.
Ron, the term I used before we got on the air was political potpourri. We're going to talk about various issues, a lot happening. One of the big news stories was that Daniel Cameron, Kentucky's Attorney General, was listed as one of 20 potential Supreme Court nominees by President Trump.
That's huge because he's just our recent Attorney General.
Yeah.
So he's climbing the political ladder pretty quickly, but on his own merits.
He is. He is articulate, smart, very young Attorney General. He worked for Senator Mitch McConnell as his general counsel. He actually helped to shepherd the nomination and the confirmation process of Neil Gorsuch. So he's got a lot of experience, a lot of achievements under his belt already. And of course, last November, was elected Attorney General, which he's really the top statewide Republican at the state level. So for him to be named at one of 20 potential Supreme Court picks was big news, and kudos to him. Kentucky on the map, that's a great honor.
Well, can I clarify when you say articulate? Obviously he's articulate. Obviously he's a well educated man that speaks well and all the rest of that. Often when you hear articulate, I'm gonna just say it. He's African American man, and sometimes when somebody says he's articulate, people are offended. Well, are you saying that because he's African American he's articulate and others aren't? That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is he's articulate in the conversation of the day. He's articulate in the law. He's articulate in defending the rights of the state. He's able to articulate very clearly what his role is, what his responsibilities are, and that sort of thing. Not that he can speak well, because obviously he can speak well, but what he speaks is well for the state of Kentucky.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good clarification. He's principled. He is a principled conservative and can speak well to those issues.
Absolutely.
And in my opinion, he's doing a good job as Attorney General.
I agree completely.
I think it would be an honor for Kentucky to actually, if it got down the line, because there is not an opening on the U.S. Supreme Court yet, but they're anticipating an opening soon. But if
Ginsburg, there you go. I knew it started with a G, has been quite ill and has gone through several bouts of cancer. And isn't she in her 90s?
Upper 80s.
Upper 80s.
So they're anticipating her to not be there for very much longer. So anyways, honor for Kentucky, honor for General Cameron, Attorney General Cameron to be named as a potential pick. Ron, we've got a number of different items I want us to push through and to try to touch on. And again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters, and we talk about current events, issues, politics from a biblical worldview.
Absolutely.
And by that, we mean the grid by which we see these things. What is the fundamental starting point for how you view politics or culture or current events? And for us, as followers of Jesus, we go to the source. We go to the Word where we find those principles, those eternal principles that can speak to human nature. They can speak to government. They speak to just human conduct. You know, what is appropriate? What is healthy? What's good? And what are some of the things that we should be mindful of and maybe even avoid?
Absolutely. So, and I believe that the Scriptures, you can go to the Scriptures and find answers to every one of life's questions. And I challenge my congregation, hey, bring a question to me and say, well, what does the Scripture have to say about this? Now, nowadays people say, well, what about traveling in an airplane? There weren't airplanes back then, obviously when it talks about that specific, but the whole idea of overcoming fears and those sort of things, the Bible speaks to every one of those things. And if you don't have that lens in which you see through, then you'll be blown about popular opinion.
That's right. So, Ron, I'm going to pivot to another hot topic. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about this in the past.
Yep.
A casino is coming to Oak Grove. Why don't you hand me that?
Yeah, we got a newspaper here for those who are watching on Facebook Live. I want to point out, and we looked at this, the whole thing was about horse racing. The whole thing was about horse racing. But it says opening September 18th, and there's a young lady standing in front of, I think what they call this is an instant racing game. Yeah. It looks just like a slot machine. Yeah. And on the back fold, it says Vegas Action minus the flight. Oak Grove. And then it keeps going on. So Vegas, so close. Now, I have been to Las Vegas on many occasions. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, just some context here. This is just down the road from where we're recording right now.
Absolutely.
Oak Grove is just, 10 minutes away
from... We could put on a backpack and walk. It'd take us all day, but yeah, we could walk there.
10 minutes away by car,
by car, yes.
And we were told a few years ago when this was first proposed that, hey, it's about helping the horse industry. It's about historical horse racing. They call it instant racing as well, where people come together and they're really betting on a previously run horse race.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a meeting.
And if you lose on a previously run horse race, you actually deserve to lose your money. I'm sorry.
We made that point too, yes. Didn't we? That yes. Who would bet on a race that's right. already been run when you know the result?
Right.
But we, of course, we stood opposed to that years ago. We said that this really is a casino coming in. This really isn't about the horses. It's about these slot machines, video slot machines. We had a meeting right here at the church, by the way, with a good group of pastors and leaders who were concerned about it. And we held it off for a few years. We kept this thing at bay, held it off, but it did get in.
And what bothers me is it's right across from Fort Campbell. Now, I have to say, there are people that I love that completely disagree with me on this. And some of those people are in leadership in Oak Grove, and they were pushing for this. And so we respectfully disagree about this. But right across the street from Soldiers, many of which might have spent 8 months, 12 months, what we used to call downrange, deployed in the defense of the country, don't have any place to spend their money, come home, and here's this casino that promises Vegas action. Like I said, I've been to Vegas many, many times. The second you get off that airplane, you feel there's an oppression that's heavy. I could go on with story after story after story of people crying and a lady in particular asking me, can you get my husband away from that machine and all the rest of that. I've witnessed that firsthand.
You've seen that firsthand, and I remember hearing some of your stories, and this is coming to our neck of the woods.
It's here.
The problem, by the way, and there are people that disagree on whether it's okay to gamble or whether it's just entertainment. I get that, but as Christians, going back to our biblical worldview, I want to go back to the first great command. It's to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second command is just like it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think one thing for Christians is they look at casinos or if they look at gambling, we need to ask ourselves, are we loving our neighbor?
Right.
Is this a loving thing to bring this kind of activity in where a certain number of people will develop an addiction? They will lose all their resources. This will impact their family. This might determine whether or not there's enough food on the table for their children that night. That's a real reality to consider.
And as a pastor, I have dealt with that. I have dealt with spouses coming to me and saying, my significant other is whether it'll be lottery tickets or things like that. That's a very real world problem. And sometimes people say, well, the folks that go in there are adults. Who are you to be able to say what another adult does?
Yeah.
If an adult was getting ready to walk out in front of a truck, do I say, well, wait a minute, he's an adult. She's an adult. She can walk out in front of that truck if she wants to. At what point do I rush in and literally tackle them to be able to save them? And
as people in the church, I'm sorry to interrupt, but as leaders in the church, we said, you know, this is activity that's going to hurt people. Yeah. We see addiction coming. We see the harm to families. Yeah. We see an increase in crime, see an increase in bankruptcies and that kind of thing. And as leaders in this community, you and I have said, no, this is not a good thing.
Yeah.
One of the issues I have with gambling in principle is that they offer pie in the sky. It's all fun. It's entertainment. And by the way, you could be a millionaire, right?
Could be.
They offer
could
that.
Could be hit by lightning and bit by a shark in the same day, too. But
and you got better
chance.
Odds for that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But so they offer pie in the sky, and they deliver very little. What they're delivering is a bill of goods where more people are made losers than are made winners. And more people end up with an addiction than actually, in my opinion, than actually go in for the entertainment and the you know, good time. A lot of people come out of there having an addiction or having lost. I think that's because we love our neighbors and because we care about our community. We say, you know what, this isn't a good thing for us. By the way, one of the another problem that I have with this and see with this is that there's an absolute monopoly created. And by that, I'm talking about an exclusive right to one industry, to one business, to have a license to have a casino. This is, you can't get a casino license. Mm-hmm. I can't get one. Mm-hmm. But the horse racing industry has given Churchill Downs and Keeneland this racing license to open up here. Mm-hmm. It's a monopoly. They're the only game in town, so to speak.
Well, and all the restaurants that are up and down the strip that would have, you know, somebody, hey, let's run out and grab a bite to eat. Well, you can run to the casino now, and the casino has that. You don't ever have to leave.
That's right.
As long as you got money, you can stay here. You can eat here. You can drink here. You can have your entertainment here and all the rest of that sort of stuff. Yeah. I don't see this good. And this is what people say. Why should we lose money to cities around us where they go to gamble?
Yeah.
What? That's like saying, instead of having the bully beat you up to take your lunch money, I'll go ahead and do it. And so that way it keeps the money closer.
How about we just not lose our lunch money altogether?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's what we're
talking. That's what our point is.
Hey, Ron, we're going to take a quick break. Sure. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a move by Louisville Metro Council to ban conversion therapy. And we'll unpack that and talk about what conversion therapy is after this break.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that America is being torn apart. We're seeing injustice, violence, and destruction of property in some of our big cities. Historical statues of our founding fathers have been vandalized, and some are even pushing to defund the police. This has brought fear and discouragement to many, but now is not the time to pull back or to disengage. That's why we are launching Faith Wins Kentucky. Faith Wins Kentucky is dedicated to educating, activating, and mobilizing Christians to vote biblical values in the November election. We believe that America is a special nation whose institutions are undergirded by biblical values. We're blessed with freedoms and liberties beyond compare. But if we care about our freedoms, then we must be willing to protect them. To learn more about Faith Wins Kentucky and how you can make a difference this election, go to faithwinsky.org. That's faithwinsky.org.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks. And Ron, just before the break, we were talking about a Louisville Metro Council committee that passed a ban on conversion therapy. Hmm. Conversion therapy is a method of counseling people, often young people, from leaving same-sex attractions or leaving a transgender identity. It's to help them to affirm their God-given born gender and heterosexual norms. And this has been in the news the last couple years here in Kentucky because there's been a move at the state level to ban conversion therapy. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it would ban any counselors, including pastoral counseling, from helping a young person who's struggling with same-sex attraction. And it would have a wholesale ban on this. Now, this was a committee that passed it in Louisville just the other day. It goes before the full Louisville Metro Council September the 17th, and they're going to take a vote on it. And it looks like they've got the votes to pass it.
So basically, the city council of a town is deciding that they can go against trained, licensed professionals who now, and I realize in that industry, there's some professionals that say conversion therapy doesn't work, it's detrimental. Others say, no, we've had success with that. But you have city council members that are stepping into the medical realm and they're saying, we don't think that this medical procedure is something you ought to be doing.
Right. Or counseling procedure. Counseling. Now, here's some context. There are medical or professional associations like the American Psychological Association.
When I say medical, I mean psychologists and sociologists. Yeah, yeah. Not
so
procedure.
The APA actually is on record saying that it's not a helpful thing, that it's a detrimental thing. You have other groups, that professional entities, that are saying, no, that's bad. Mm-hmm. However, they're coming at it from a secular perspective, worldview that says, you know what, individuals should
choose. Whatever you want to do, yeah.
That's right. And it would be harmful to try to change that person, whether it's a young person or whether it's an older person struggling with their sexual identity. Listen to what the American Psychological Association says. Conversion therapy is not supported by any reliable evidence and can lead to increased risk of depression, anxiety, suicide, and substance abuse. So that's what they've said. And they're going back to 2015, the American Psychological Association, they called an end to the conversion therapy. They said that we don't want our counselors to do this.
You know what also leads to depression, increased suicide rate, yeah, anxiety, and all the rest of that?
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
As believers, we have a hope, mm-hmm, that not only can we walk with the Spirit of God now, but there's, mm-hmm, there's an eternal life with God the Father. Walking around and not knowing who you are, not knowing what your identity is. If I lost my job today, I'm still a blood-bought, born-again believer. If, yeah, my wife would leave me, and we've been married for 40 years, there's a good chance that's not going to happen. But if suddenly the Lord should take her, and I find myself not married, I'm still, my identity is a blood-bought, yes, born-again believer. Yeah. If both of my boys decide they wanted to be girls, I'm still a blood-bought, born-again, mm-hmm, believer. My identity is who I am in Christ. But when you don't have that, you look every place else for your identity. And, yeah, to be able to say that to somebody, I guess if somebody makes that illegal, I'm going to be a criminal, you know, because I'm going to stand on what God's word says.
Well, because you counsel people.
Right. Absolutely.
And you have counseled people regarding same-sex attraction.
Absolutely.
Regarding gender identity.
Absolutely.
You've had tough conversations. Now, Ron, under this bill, and I've not seen the exact language here, mm-hmm, I have looked at the language of the state-level anti-conversion therapy bill, and it specifically said that it would ban fee-based pastoral counseling. That those words are in there. So if you charge, and I know you don't, but there are some pastoral ministries where they do charge.
That are licensed, absolutely, and that's how they make their income, sure.
And they have a biblical perspective, mm-hmm, when it comes to sexual identity and on God's norms for sexual behavior. So they would be banned in Louisville if that, mm-hmm, language in there, mm-hmm, is in there. They'd be banned from doing this.
Wow.
Ron, the charges from the secular community that conversion therapy leads to increase in depression, increased anxiety, increased suicide, increased substance abuse. Couldn't you also say that perhaps it's the conflicting conscience that you have? If you're doing something outside of what our Creator has ordained for us as healthy, wholesome behavior, the guidelines He gives us in life, the moral boundaries He gives us, couldn't you also say that if you push against that you're going to be anxious and depressed?
Richard, I was born with a horrible temper. Even as a very young child, I would throw fits to the point where I would hold my breath and pass out and things before I don't even remember those days. Growing up, horrible temper. And I can remember losing my temper and saying things to my parents, to my friends. I can remember as a young adult tearing stuff up. Afterwards, racked with remorse, racked with things. And I would often go to alcohol or drugs to be able to somehow bring a sense of normalcy to myself, because I had this horrible, horrific anger problem. And when I acted out on that, it caused all those things, because I realized I was not created to be able to not control myself. Yeah. Thankfully, I've learned to be able to bring that under control.
So you've had spiritual renewal. You've had a radical change,
absolutely,
in your life early on that brought you in a different place.
Absolutely.
So
when I acted against what was right, it brought on all those problems.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you completely. You let somebody know you were created for something different than this, and the angst, the anxiety, and all comes from those two things bumping up against each other,
right,
when somebody considers, is there really something better, yeah, a more excellent, yeah, way than God has provided for me? Yeah. It's not trying to tell somebody, yeah, that what they're doing is wrong. It's they know that what they're doing is wrong, yeah, and that anxiety is created because of that.
Expect a lawsuit. If the Louisville Metro Council passes this bill, I do expect a lawsuit to,
yeah,
challenge that bill.
Yeah.
Ron, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a woman surfer in Spain was arrested at the beach because she tested positive for COVID-19,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and she didn't follow the mandatory quarantine orders. So police came and arrested her. We're going to talk about that in just a minute when we come back.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. And just before the break, we were talking about what some countries are doing to stop the spread of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Big story out of Spain about a woman surfer. Looked like she was maybe in her 20s or 30s, younger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The authorities determined that she had tested positive for COVID-19. She refused to stay at home and self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. So they came to the beach in hazmat suits, and then okay. They arrested her. Mm-hmm. She was actually in a dialogue at the water's edge. She didn't want to follow them, but eventually they got a hold of her and arrested her mm-hmm. and took her off in handcuffs from the beach. And Ron, the reason I'm talking about this is because this is not just in Spain, but we saw a similar case in Kentucky in Hardin County, that's Elizabethtown, mm-hmm. Where a couple tested positive there, or one of the spouses tested positive. But that couple did not remain in self-quarantine. So the sheriff comes to their door. A sheriff's deputy says, we need to put an ankle bracelet around mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. You need to stay at home. You're going to be under house arrest. Mm-hmm, this happened back mm-hmm, in July. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you, Ron, is that legitimate authority for the government to do?
You know, I don't know, Richard. Years ago, there was a lady by the name of Typhoid Mary. Typhoid Mary had typhoid.
Well, I want to ask,
carrier of typhoid.
Was Typhoid her first name?
Typhoid was her first name. Yeah, her parents didn't like her.
Okay. It's a real story, but that was her nickname. Yeah. She got
But she was a carrier of typhoid, but she did not actually have the disease. That happened with me. I was a carrier of tuberculosis, but I had to go to the health department for a whole year, take medicine and all the rest of that. My body didn't have tuberculosis, but I was carrying it in my system. Thankfully, I have drugs nowadays. 24 hours, you're no longer contagious. But Typhoid Mary was walking around, gave thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people typhoid.
Yeah.
And when they finally discovered she was the source, and they stopped her movements, it was already rampant, but they realized if we could have just limited her movements. So my thinking is, I mean, if you know that you're positive in COVID, and you go out and you say, I'm not going to do the self-quarantine, and I don't know whether these people wore masks or not, but you go into a place. Time magazine just recently said that probably the number one spread of the COVID is not the droplets that go 6 feet. It's what they call the aerosols, the minute particles that will get caught in the airstreams and might travel for hundreds of yards, just minute particles. You've got COVID. You come in with your wife that has COVID. I'm shopping in the same store. You give me no indication that you know for a fact that you're positive. I come into contact with you and I get it. And you say, hey, my freedoms are to be able to move about. Where are my freedoms to be able to move about safely? So I don't know.
And that's a very good point. Yeah. So what about the responsibility for good citizens to stay out? If you're infected, if you think you're infected, if you've been exposed to somebody mm-hmm. who has COVID-19, mm-hmm. then don't you have a responsibility to stay away from others, to get tested maybe, to see if you have it? But if you're feeling sick, to stay out of public places, stay out of the grocery store, don't go to the big box stores, just stay away. Isn't that a responsibility?
And that's what I would think in the case of these folks, to be able to stay away from big places. Now, to be bound to their home, the idea, you know, like we talked about earlier, what if they have a farm and they're going to go feed their farm animals and the idea of having to stay in their home? I think there's a responsibility. But I think there's also they can move about freely to become prisoners in their own home.
And then what about the responsibility for other people? If you're immune compromised, if you're elderly, perhaps you shouldn't go out to public places if you're afraid of catching. So what we know, so COVID-19 is not typhoid. It's not spread same way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We do know that in Kentucky that it's not been as much of a threat as what we were originally mm-hmm, told. Mm-hmm. There, you know, several thousand confirmed cases. It's about 1,000 deaths mm-hmm. due to it. most of these people are elderly or immune compromised. I do not want to diminish their deaths in any way.
No, absolutely.
But the CDC came out with a report just the other day, said that 94% of those who died from COVID had underlying health issues.
Yeah, would have died eventually anyway. Most. I mean, that's an insensitive way of putting it, but it had
diabetes, you know, heart disease, other lung issues,
cancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they were very compromised in other ways. Only 6% of the is about 180 some thousand deaths in this country. Mm-hmm. Only 6% of that 180 some thousand died exclusively from COVID.
Right.
Most of those were very elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not want to diminish this at all. The reason I say that is because this could have been targeted in a different way.
Yeah.
Look, if you're immune compromised or elderly, then you stay at home. If you're afraid of catching it in a public place, stay at home. Mm-hmm. Or wear the face shield and the mask and whatever else. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Sure. It could have been targeted in a certain way in order to minimize the impact on individuals and to allow their individual rights to be upheld, right?
Yeah.
Instead of shutting the churches down, instead of closing the mom-and-pop businesses down.
Sure. Well, and I think, absolutely, I think there could have been a much better way. I agree, because many businesses, many families lost everything they had because of things being shut down. You know, thankfully, I wasn't in the position to be able to have to come up with those with those rules, because we can always armchair quarterback and look back, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Pretty good at that, Ron.
You know, absolutely.
Pretty good at that.
Good gracious. I'm glad I'm not making those
decisions.
Let me
pivot to another thing. So that's good. A good conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got just a minute here, and I want to go to the election is underway in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get to a public place, if you don't want to go to a polling place, you can apply for a ballot with the Secretary of State's office. There's an online portal there. You just put your name and confirm your mailing address. They will send you a ballot. Those ballots, Ron, will hit mailboxes on September the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there is an online site at the Kentucky Secretary of State's office, and you can apply for that right now. Just takes a minute to do, and then that ballot will arrive in your mailbox no earlier than September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in-person voting in Kentucky begins on October the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first day of early voting.
Sure enough.
So keep in mind, if any of these issues that we talked about motivate you, whether it's the gambling
or
whether it's the overstep of, I would say, the governor when it comes to churches in particular and the small businesses, if these issues motivate you, make sure you get out and vote
and
to vote your values.
Yeah, absolutely. Listeners, if you see more signs for one person than you do another, please don't use that as a determining factor on who you're going to vote for. All you've done is voted for the deepest pockets.
That's right. Ron, brother, good to have you on the program.
It's always a pleasure.
God bless. Have a good day.
God bless you all.